Yo, what's up? Roxy here. How you doing? I still have a cold. I'm struggling with the weather. It's been changing since Sunday. I don't know where I got it from, but this has been the worst flu I have had in forever. It was so bad, so bad. It's been on since Sunday, and today is Friday, April 5th, which is way too long if you ask me, but I am getting better. I'm hydrating as much as I can, but I'm hoping that this is just a flu. Anywho, how are you? What's going on? I have missed you guys. I know, I know. First of all, please go watch my YouTube video. For those of you who don't know, I have a YouTube channel. I want to say it's Roxy 3082, but I'm not sure that's the. But anyway, you'll find me on YouTube. I just did an unboxing and first impressions video on the Honor Pad 9. It's a tab, and that's what I'm using to record this as well. I just want to find out if the speakers on this pad are useful. It's a fraction of the price of similarly sized Samsung or Apple device for that matter. So it's just to see if all of these alternative technologies are catching up. You know what I mean? I'm assuming it's a Huawei product. I can't be too sure, but so far so good. I haven't had any complaints. There's been a lot of tweaking I've needed to do to the settings to just bring it up to par. What I did find out was that we're also accustomed to Apple devices and Samsung devices and the gestures. So it's almost like the computers have trained us without us knowing that they've trained us like monkeys, and now we are so used to a certain command, certain gestures, like swiping up from down to go back to the home screen. If you're using any device now, whether you're using an iPhone or a Samsung, once you swipe from the top of the device downward, you would either get your notifications if you go to the right, or if you go to the left, you'll get your control panel. If you swipe from the if you're on a page and you swipe from the bezel on the left, right, and you swipe it towards the right, it will take you backward, right, and close that page, back. Those are commands and gestures that we just started doing because we had iPhones. A few years ago, we didn't even know what those commands were. But these machines have taught us without us knowing that if you want to talk to a machine, this is how to do it. Swipe your hand from down, swipe your hand from up, and we already know what to expect when we swipe our hands over the device, that we do it without thinking every day. We just walk around with our phones and we just swipe and swipe and swipe and swipe and swipe. We don't realize that the phone is actually teaching us those commands to say, if you want to go back, just swipe this way. If you want to go forward, just swipe this way. So when they give you a new device that has a different set of commands, that's when it occurs to you that, oh my God, I've gotten used to certain commands and I didn't even know when I got used to them. So now I just thought that universally, if I swipe a certain way, this is what's supposed to happen. So when I got this device and I tried to swipe like that and the thing didn't happen, I just thought, what's going on? This is not right. And this one also has a few interesting, I call them, fixes for gestures. For instance, in the iPhone and the Samsung, if you needed to screenshot something on your screen, right, you had to hold the on button and the volume button together at the same time. On the iPad, it's terrible. On the Samsung tab, it's even worse because then you have to literally put two fingers there, then hold it with the other hand very firmly. Because by the time you're done with all that, whatever you wanted to screenshot has gone. So, what they have done here is that they know how you hold the phone or the tab, and Honor just says with your knuckle, like you're knocking a door. You know how you knock a door with the knuckle? Just knock it. Just knock your screen twice, just like a door. Knock, knock. It will screenshot it for you. Like, it is so intuitive. I'm thinking to myself, why didn't anybody else think about that? Why didn't Apple think? Apple's probably going to steal it at some point, but why didn't Samsung think about that? Why didn't Apple think about that? Why do we still have to use two buttons at the side and press like with our lives? Just double knock the screen. Knock, knock. It screenshots. If you use two fingers, that's two knuckles at the same time, and do the knock, it video records your screen. It's amazing. So now I'm really watching something. Instantly, as I'm watching it, I just knock my screen, like tap tap, and instantly it screenshots it and says, "Do you want to share it or do you want to save it?" It's phenomenal. It is phenomenal. Other than that, what's it been like? The weather here is great. We're moving into spring. The flowers are out. The birds are out. Winter wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. What I did find out was that in the south, southeast, southwest, south part of England, it's not as cold in the winter. It's not like it probably snowed around here twice or three times. It wasn't like all of that. Meanwhile, those in the north had snow, you know, all the time, and it was like it was all of that. So it's kind of weird. Since I got here, I've only seen snow maybe 4 days out of the 2 years I've been here, maybe five. There's been ice maybe 1 or 2 days on the cars and stuff, but it's never been all, you know, not snow like, you know, Canada snow, whatever. Very weird. Anywho's. Yes. We've been seeing all the news from Nigeria. Yes. Everything is the way it is. Yes. The world is still moving. But that's not what I want to talk about. What I really wanted to find out, I read a tweet today. I'm sorry, the cough came, so I had to pause for a minute. But I was just saying that I thought about it today, and I saw a tweet today that talked about Yoruba people in general. And what happened to change who they are? What exactly happened? There has to be a trigger point for how we got to where we are now. Because those of us, the 70s, 80s babies, who grew up in the 80s and the 90s, at a time where was at a generation that was even closer to the Nigerian Civil War than this generation, we still did not find this type of rhetoric growing up. We didn't find this type of hate. We didn't find this type of just bile and vile from certain Yoruba persons online against other tribes, especially the Igbos, if we're being honest. And I often, I'm very shocked sometimes that it's not getting any form of pushback. It's not getting the fierce sort of outcry from well-meaning Yoruba people, people you respect and people who you thought would say, no, don't talk like that. You know what I mean? And I think what is more disturbing for those of us looking from the outside in is that we know that the Yoruba people are very hierarchical, which means that they put a lot of value in elders, right? So there's a structure to their society, as with many African societies, where the elders can caution the young ones, And then so when you see people online who are not even being anonymous and they're just coming out with their plain chests to say, I hate Igbo people, you know, they're taking over Yoruba land, don't allow them. People are writing books now, Yoruba versus Igbo, don't let them take over and all that. Literally spewing bigotry and tribal hatred. And the sort of pushback you'd expect that the elders in the Yoruba community would they are not. So at some point, you begin to think that they actually either are the ones fostering this brand new generational hatred, and or they're permitting it. Permitting meaning we just look the other way, where we allow your children to throw mud in our neighbors' faces, right? Pretend we didn't see it, you know, that sort of thing. What I therefore want to do, because I think that that's important for me, and the only reason why I'm saying this out is because I'm looking for suggestions. I want to interview somebody who is reasonable, who's educated, who's exposed, who's well-traveled. He's not a bigot himself, but he's a Yoruba person. A Yoruba person with enough traditional links to understand exactly what the Ijinle Yoruba people are actually thinking. What is the thought process of the hinterland core Yoruba person against Igbos? What is the thinking? Where has this come from? What is driving this new wave? We can pretend all we want. It's just like the same thing with the Muslim people, where certain Muslims do something wrong or say something wrong or try to take over the rights of other people, and then the good Muslims among us say, oh, it's not all Muslims. Oh, don't say it's all Muslims. Okay, we get it. All of us have friends who are good. We all have people in every demography who are upstanding and great, great people. The same with the Yoruba people. My experience with Yoruba people has always been exceptionally good. We grew up amongst them. I've been in Lagos since, I don't know, 1980, 81. I grew up from nursery school to university, you know what I mean? Everything. I've never, except the one time when I tried to get a house and the landlord said they wanted you, which was the first time I realized I wanted to be Yoruba, because I always didn't think that, I never thought that mattered. They were the most tolerant. They had families who had Christians, and the children were allowed to go to church when the parents were going to mosque. The wife was allowed to be a Christian and the husband a Muslim. Their children were allowed to bring people from outside, from different tribes, and come and marry. Like, it was the most, why not? They were very exposed. They were marrying white people. They were marrying foreigners way before it became a thing. These are the Yoruba people that I remember. So it's a bit challenging for me to be brought up to speed with the new hatred, and especially from Lagos Yoruba people of all people, who are usually the most modernized and have been modernized for a long time. So I just want to understand what the thinking is. Where are we going to? Where are we coming from? What's really driving this new thought process? I want somebody who's going to be unfiltered, right? So I want somebody who has nothing to lose. We're going to be respectful in the conversation. I just want to ask a few questions, but I also want to give me clear answers. If the Igbos have done something wrong, if we think and we know, Yoruba people know more than everyone else what they are going through. If it's something in the hinterlands, there's some strife on the ground that we're not all aware of, there's a backstory to it. That's what I'm trying to get at. And I'm trying to put it on the record to say, without naming your name, without trying to, I'm not trying to bullshit you or anything. I just want my audience to know that there's a bigger story behind it, and this is not just for nothing. Your people are not just suddenly losing their minds and hating everyone. Something's driving it, and that thing is real to them, and this is what it is. If I can just get to that, maybe we'll understand, and the conversation will change, and how we engage them, how we engage the angry Yoruba people today will change, and we can move forward to a proper dialogue, right? Tribal dialogue. The three tribes, representatives, what do we think of each other? Why do we hate? What is really going on? What do you say I did to you, essentially, that makes you hate me so much? Let's put it on the table and discuss it once and for all. So we can move forward. We can move forward. I feel like from then on, if I can understand it, I can marshal it. If I can marshal it, I can argue for it. And then I can put forward a program or a plan for the National Orientation Agency, who I think we still have in existence, to build a program around it and say, look, I have gotten you bullet point talking points where this is coming from. If after that I also need an Igbo person, I will do so. If after that I need a Hausa person, I will do so. Just to get a conversation going and say, you know what, why are we here? How did we get here? Why are we here? What are we going to do going forward? And then I can make my proposals and my point of view, if that makes sense. And putting it out there, because I'm hoping it will happen soon. If it doesn't happen, that's fine as well. No pressure. But I'm just putting it out there. So if you listen to this, if you can make it happen in one way or the other, let me know. It will be virtual. I'll just put you, send you a link. You come on the same way I'm recording right now. You record from wherever you are on your phone, and we're good. And I always send you a copy before I post it, so don't feel like I'm going to blindside you. You can say what you like. I will edit it. Anything you didn't mean to say, let me know. I take it out. Send your final copy. You approve. Say yes, that sounds right. That's what I was trying to say. No, let's record it again. Whatever it is, before I post it, if that makes sense. Anyway, as always, you can reach me on Twitter. ROQZEE. Looking forward to taking the conversation forward. As always, have fun. Cheers.